And this morning, I love the story of the shepherds. It's probably my favorite part of the Christmas story, probably because I think it's the only part I could fill in the Christmas story. The gospel coming and the message of the gospel coming to simple people. I am a simple-minded person, and I don't think real deep. Amen. You say the word well, and everybody goes, "Yeah, that's a deep hole," and it is. And when we think about the shepherds, we're not talking about the creme de la creme of society. We're talking about simple, humble men. And God brought the message of the Savior to a group of simple, humble men as they abode in the fields. If you would stand with me, I promise I will not be long this morning. We're going to be in Luke in chapter number 2. We're going to be beginning in verse number 8. It says in Luke in chapter number 2, and it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning his child, and all they that heard it wondering at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." We're going to look at this Christmas night with the shepherds. Let's have a word of prayer and then you may be seated. Dear God, we thank you so much for your love. I thank you for your grace and your goodness to me, to my family. Lord, I thank you that we get to stop and we get to share time with our loved ones. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the love that they have for me and for one another. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we have to gather today. Lord, all these things were made possible because you came to earth and you gave yourself a sacrifice. You were the lamb slain before the foundation of the earth that we might be able to find salvation in you. God, we thank you so much for your love, for your goodness, for your grace. I pray that you'd be with one that might be here today that does not know who you are. They do not know you as not just the Savior of the world, but their own personal Savior. God, would your gospel be made clear today that they might be able to know and understand, that they might be able to not just know of the Savior, but they might have possession of the Savior of the world, your Son, Jesus Christ. Would you help us this morning? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Sometimes we can stop and we think how cute it is that the kids will get their bathrobes on and get up here with something on their head and do a Christmas program. And it's not just to have a time of cuteness. And so grandma and grandpa and aunts and uncles can think of how cute it is. Although I'm not trying to take away from the cuteness factor of it. All right. There is much to be said there. But the reality is this, that as the children are learning of the coming of the Savior, the most important lesson they can learn about the coming of baby Jesus to this earth and this nativity scene is that the Savior didn't just come to the earth. He came to this earth for them personally. This was not just a special time for Mary. It wasn't just a special time for Joseph. It wasn't just a scene because the angels had a song they had to come down and sing. Amen. It was a sign that the Savior has come to this earth to save all men. And we see that no better picture of that reality than in the life of the shepherds. As Jesus Christ came to this earth, his birth was heralded first to these simple shepherds as they abode in this field. And there's been much speculation that goes into the Christmas story, honestly. One of my kids asked me this week because of the play, "Dad, how do we know that Mary and Joseph knocked on the doors of three different inns in Bethlehem? I mean, how do we know they went to three different hotels?" And I said, "Well, even better than that, how do we even know there were three hotels in Bethlehem, you know, to knock on?" And again, it's kind of a speculation. And even the third goes, "Well, you can stay in the stable in the back behind. We don't have any room inside, but you can go, you know, sleep with the dirty pen animals." Have you ever been in a stable stall? Unless by someone's intervention, those things stay kind of dirty. And even when they're clean, guess what? They're still kind of dirty, all right? That's a good speculation. And you can go back in the Old Testament. I think it's fascinating that the shepherds, when they went to Bethlehem, they knew exactly where to find Mary and Joseph. They say, "We're going to go to Bethlehem," but they didn't go and knock on every door in town. They went to Mary and Joseph. The scripture would help us to understand in verse number 15, "Let us know now into Bethlehem and see the thing which came to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph. I mean, this was something that they did in a rush, in a hurry, and they didn't have to go disturb every inn in town to find them. We can go back to the Old Testament and we can find out that it was prophesied exactly where he would come. He was going to come to Bethlehem Ephrathah. If you go back to Micah in chapter number 5, that was symbolic of a place where Rachel had been buried. This was what made this place famous in the book of Genesis and chapter number 35. Rachel, the wife of Jacob, the mother of Joseph, had been buried there. It was a place of remembrance. It was a place where even today the Jews go and mourn over the death of Rachel. And it was prophesied again of Micah in Micah chapter 5, Bethlehem Ephrathah. But it's also of a place just near Bethlehem, just as outside of Bethlehem, called the Tower of Edar. I know that's a strange name, but you can find that in Genesis in chapter number 35 as well. And then in Micah, it's referred to again as the Tower of the Flock. That's the Tower of Edar. Would also be the Tower of the Flock in Micah in chapter number 4. So not only was it specified in Scripture the city he would be born in, but the very place in that city. It would be like just kind of saying, "You're going to go visit Josh Carter." That's me, if you don't know. In Bellingham, Washington. You could go by this method through every door in town. You could start going south to north, east to west, and you say, "We're going to knock every door in town until we can find where Josh Carter lives." And you'll actually run into more than one of us in town. I'm the best one, I think. But anyway, you can knock on doors and you can find them that way. Or somebody could say he lives over at 1217, and you could give us the very address that he lives at, and you can go and you can visit me at my location. I want you to understand that this city of Bethlehem and even this Tower of the Flock where he was proclaimed to be born was a known place. It was something that they had been looking for. And as the angels show up to these shepherds that are in a field at this night, the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and this would be a great light that would shine round about them. It says, as they were keeping watch over their flock by night, the angel came, verse number 9, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. I don't know that I can exactly tell you what that is, but I do know that in their day they didn't have electricity. And they didn't have, and some of you are going to think I'm coming up, light pollution. It does exist, maybe not as bad as the city would want us to believe or the state would want us to believe, but light pollution does exist. You go out in the middle of Kansas, I'm telling you, you can see more stars in the state of Kansas than you can here from Bellingham. And it's for one thing, there's more lights here. There just are. There's more lights here, and so therefore the lights above are many and multiplied and more. But I want you to understand, with no electricity and the lights of the stars and the moon being the only light they have, they would have been in great darkness. I mean, it would have been dark outside where they were, lying with the sheep. And as this glory of the Lord shone round about them, more than likely this was the brightest glory that they had ever seen, the brightest light that they had ever seen in their life, whether in the daytime or in the nighttime, as it shone round about them. And the response was the response that I would expect that I would have. I would think that you would have as well. They were sore afraid, and they were scared to death. The shepherds that were there in the field, these shepherds that were there watching over their flocks by night, you could maybe imagine a little bit of a wow factor that was taking place, not only because of the bright light that was there, but because of the message of the angel. They weren't having the Tuesday night meeting with the angel. This was the once in a lifetime meeting with the angel that had came to speak to them, had came to talk to them, and was heralding this message to them. This was a once in a lifetime thing, and here these shepherds were standing around and were afraid of what was taking place at this miraculous sight that they were seeing. I mean, you could stop and you could imagine the fear that was in them. We could think about why the shepherds, why this place. No doubt they would have been round about the city of Bethlehem. They weren't in the city of Bethlehem. They had to go to the place where this was done. It could have been, it's been speculated. Some people say, well, these were the shepherds that watched over the temple sheep. That could be. Some people say, well, these would have been the fields that David himself would have watched over his flocks at night. And that could be. The reality is why God came to them, we don't necessarily know, except for he came to those who would be watchers of flocks. He came to those who would be very well acquainted with the Lamb of God that had just come to this earth. Right. They knew about the about sheep. These shepherds, are considered to be unclean. You can imagine why. They're out in the fields at night with the sheep. And when you're walking in the dark, you know, around animals and there's stuff on the ground. I'm not trying to be gross. I'm just, if you've never been on a farm walking through a field at night, I'm telling you, there's stuff you need to watch out for. And if you can't see it, it gets on you. It does. Some of you aren't enjoying this. It does get on you. It does. And so you realize that these people would have been ceremonially unclean. They would have bed down with the sheep in the place where the sheep lay. And that means they would have had the smell of the sheep on them. You know, and they would have been very common men. They wouldn't have walked into town and everybody goes, what's that alluring odor, that sweet smelling savor? That's not these kind of guys. I mean, these were considered to be unclean people. And they would have been, in their day, they would have been considered to be very simple people. They might have had messed up hair. They might have smelled a little bit. They might have probably not had great hygiene day after day laying out in the field with sheep, and you can picture out them out in the field, and as this great light shines round about them, these gentlemen, as they were standing there with their ratty clothes and their messed up hair and their dirty faces, and just standing around looking at each other, with a crazy look on their face, like, what in the world is just happening, as the glory of the Lord shows up unto them. And we stop and go, why would God show up to people that were ceremonially were unclean for a ceremony at the temple? Why would God show up to people that just laid out in the field that really didn't even have a home? They bedded down with sheep. Why would God show up to people that had a very much of an animal smell on them? God showed up to people that would receive a message. God showed up to people that would be humble enough to receive their message. Why them? Jesus was foretold in Genesis in chapter 49, verse 24, and Isaiah in chapter 40, 11. Jesus was foretold that he would be a shepherd. He was going to be the shepherd of all men. He's come to shepherd us unto God. Jesus in his earthly ministry even called himself the good shepherd in John in chapter 10 and verse number 11. Jesus also was prophesied as being a lamb in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 7. John the Baptist even referred to him as the lamb which was slain before the foundation of the world in John 1:29. Both of these are beautiful pictures of him being a shepherd and a lamb. Both of them are wonderful pictures. As Christ came to shepherds abiding with their flocks at night. But why did he come to them? I got three little points and I'll get done. He came to them because they were humble enough to hear the message. They heard the message that they were given. I want you to understand that many people can hear the message and not everybody hears it. I'll be honest with you. Probably there's people in the room today that you've heard the message of Jesus Christ. You've heard the message of the gospel, but you've never really heard it. I mean, it kind of like your children. It goes in one ear and it comes out the other, right? And you've heard it maybe multiple times. Maybe even heard me speak it as simple as this: that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down and he was born of a woman. He lived a sinless, perfect life, and that's so important. That's very important that he lived a sinless life. That he was without sin. He was not like you and I are. You and I are born with a sin nature. He was the Son of God. Yes, Mary was a physical mother and he was physically born, but he was born of the Spirit of God according to chapter number 1. And I don't know how all of that works. I'm going to be enlightened as you will one day in heaven. But we do know this, that he was of the seed of the Holy Spirit of God that was placed inside of Mary, born without sin and lived a life without sin, because we understand this, that the wages of sin is death. That's what the wages of sin are. If I am to be held accountable for my own sin, the only payment that is satisfactory for my sin is that I would give my life. I couldn't even give my life for you. You know why? Because I'm a sinner just like you are. I couldn't say, listen, I'm willing to pay his sin debt because then there'd be no one to pay my sin debt. We all needed someone to come and pay our sin debt, and that's why the Savior came. Because you and I are born sinners. We're born separated from God. We're born aliens from him, if you will, the Bible tells us. That there's nothing we can do for ourselves. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves aside from giving ourselves as our own sacrifice. But Jesus Christ came. And he was born in the flesh that he might be the perfect sacrifice for you and for I. And listen, he lived a sinless, perfect life. He was tempted in all points like as we are. Yet he was without sin, the Word of God tells us. And he went to a cross and he died upon a cross. And he was buried in the grave and he was there 3 days. But praise the Lord, he rose again with life and offering life to all who will believe. Now if that's the very first time you've heard that message, now you're going to be held accountable for the message. But I dare say that many people, you've heard the message. You've heard it many times. But here's the difference between the shepherds and many other people. The shepherds heard the message and then they heeded the message. One shepherd didn't look at the other and go, man, that was weird. I'm going back to bed. I mean, they just go, what was that all about? That was the weirdest thing ever. No, no. They knew exactly when he said, listen, the Savior has come. The Savior is born. He has come. He is here. The Messiah is here. They heard that message and they heeded that message and they got up and they went and did something. Look what it says. It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them in verse number 15 into heaven that the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see these things which have come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. let's get up, let's go do something about this message that we've heard. And they got up and they went to see that the things that had been told unto them were true and that they were come to pass. And they heeded the message. The message was for them to get up and go. And they got up and went and they did as they were told. They heeded the message. It wasn't just something they heard and went on with life. It was something they heard and something that they heeded. The Bible is very clear. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if, listen to me, my friend, you never call upon the name of the Lord, there's no salvation. You can hear the message, oh man, Jesus came, He died, and that's just a wonderful story. No, no, no. It's not just a wonderful story. It's a wonderful story for me, personally. I mean, plain, simple old me. It's a wonderful story for you, personally. That Jesus Christ came and He gave His life a ransom for many, that you might be able to be saved, that you might be able to have eternal life, that you might be able to call upon Him for forgiveness of your sins and receive Him as a Savior, not just of this world, but the personal Savior of your own very life. And some people will hear that message, and some people will heed it, and there will be those who will not. There will be some that will heed the message that the Savior has come to save your personal soul, and there are some that will just go, well, that's a nice story, and we'll celebrate it again come next December. No, no, no. It's something that we can celebrate every day of the year because we know that we know that we know that we have salvation. I'm not just up here today preaching because I'm wanting you to realize that there is hope of salvation. I'm up here trying to preach to you today because I have salvation and I want to share it with you. I want you to know that you can be saved. I want you to know that this isn't just a Savior that came to the world so that we could just have a time to go spend our money around every December because we all just have so much excess of money to go spend at stores for, you know, boxes that our kids will play with. You realize with me, it's not about that. It's about the reality that Jesus Christ came to save your soul. You and I have an opportunity today, not just to hear a sweet little story about a baby Jesus coming to the earth, but you and I have an opportunity to heed the message that was given us and do something with it. If you and I never receive Christ, you and I will never be able to have the Savior of the world. We'll just be able to know about the Savior of the world. And I'm telling you today, one day that's going to become a great reality to you. One day that there is a Savior of the world is going to be made very real unto you. It's going to be made very plain unto you because we shall all stand before Him one day. Saved and lost, listen, we'll all stand before Him one day. We'll give an account. I can stand before Him one day and I can give an account like this. Well, I was a good person. I did a lot of good things. Went to church every Christmas and went to church every Easter and was a good deed doer all the rest of the days of the year and did my best to be good to my fellow man and be kind to my fellow man. Or I can just stand before this. I am a sinner saved by the grace of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You realize today that's the only testimony that God's looking to hear? He's not looking down on earth trying to look. And listen, we should do good to our fellow man. We should be doing good works and doing good things. But listen, not so I can be saved. Those things should be done because I do know that I am saved. I do know that I am saved. And so these shepherds heard the message. They heeded the message. And once they heeded the message, then they heralded the message. Look at verse number 16 again. It says, and they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told unto them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I mean, they did what they needed to do. They came and they found Jesus. And then they just didn't say, man, I'm glad that we get to have this for a secret for ourselves. Let's be quiet about it. Let's not tell anybody else about it. No, no. They went and told everybody about it. They began to spread the noise abroad. And it says, It says, and they made known abroad the saying which was told unto them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds, these crazy lunatic shepherds that, you know, smelled and were, you know, messed up clothes and messed up hair that had been out in the fields, came, they found the Savior, and then they went and told everybody they could about the Savior and shared the message of His coming and heralded the message of the Savior that's come to this earth and wanted everybody to know about it to the point where everybody went and stepped back and said, man, that's these guys are kind of a bunch of crazy guys that are just coming and telling us all these messages, wondering what in the world is going on. What's taking place with these guys? What's happened with them? There's something strange about these men. There's something different about these men that they're wondering exactly what they it says in verse number 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. What's going on? What has taken place? The Savior's come. The Savior, the Messiah is here. We've seen Him. We know where He's at. We can go to Him. We can find Him. And we can have a personal relationship with Him. And everybody else just sat back and wondered at the things that these shepherds were speaking of. That might be you today. It might be that you've heard, heeded, and now you're heralding the message. And it might be that you're one sitting back and going, well, what does that mean for me? That's a message. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but what does that mean for me? I want to say it again. It means this, that the Messiah that has come, Jesus Christ, who was born and gave His life to save all men. Listen to me, was born and gave His life to save your soul. My soul. You personally. He didn't just come so a group of angels could have a song to sing. He didn't just come so that shepherds could run through town and make people go, man, what are those crazy smelly lunatics up to? No, He came so that you might be able to have an understanding that Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ came for you. You say, I'm just not really a religious person. I'm just not into all the church stuff. It's not about being a religious person. It's not about being into all the churchy stuff. It's not about putting, you know, a nativity scene out in front of your house. And no. It's about this. Had you, at some point in your life, understood that you were a sinner in need of a Savior and called upon Jesus Christ for salvation? I'm asking each and every one of you personally. It's not just the crowd in general. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ didn't just come for crowds in general. He came to humble, simple men that would hear, heed, and then herald His message. So I'm asking you individually, personally, ma'am, sir, boy, girls, have you come to a point in your life where you realize you're a sinner and people stop and go, well, I don't think I'm not a perfect person, but I don't know about, I mean, calling people sinners. That's kind of harsh and that's kind of inflammatory language to throw around. No. No, it's not. It's a Bible language to throw around. I'm not just coming here today to call everybody sinners and make everybody feel bad and make everybody feel ashamed of themselves. No, I'm just coming to warn you that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And until you understand that you are a sinner, my friend, you cannot be a recipient of His salvation that He came to offer in all men. Because He didn't come to save good men. He didn't come to save those who think they are good enough to get into heaven of their own good deeds and of their own good works. He came to save those who realize they have a need of salvation. Those who will accept that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That I have sinned and I've come short of the glory of God. And only through Jesus Christ, the Savior, might I be made a recipient of the glory of God. Only purpose for the sermon today is this. Do you know Christ? Yeah, you may have heard the message. Have you heeded the message? And listen to me, my friend. If you've really heard the message, If you've really heard the message, you say, no, I know Christ is my Savior. I just keep it to myself. I have to question. Sorry. Because when these guys heard that the Savior came, and He came for them, come for them, let me proper English there, that He had come for them, realize they went out and told everybody about it to where everybody else was like, whoa, what are y'all excited for? You got religion or something? So they were excited that the Savior had come. And when the Savior comes, there's a change that takes place inside that should cause you to want to herald the message of His coming. Not that I'm just not an outspoken person. I don't talk about... You talk to people about stuff. Everybody here, you talk to somebody about something. We couldn't stop to tell about the Savior who came to save us from our sin, that we might be able to have an eternity in heaven with Him. We don't have time to herald that. If we have it, I'm telling you, it should be something we're excited to herald. Whether or not everybody understands it or not, I know. I'm so glad I do. I know that 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 I'm saved. I don't have questions about it this morning. There were times in my life where I did. I'm telling you, when I got saved at the age of 18, November the 4th, I can take you to the place. I know what happened. I know what God did when He saved my soul. And I want you to understand today, He wants to do the same thing for you. He wants you to know in your heart that He is both the Savior of the world, yes, but as the Savior of the world, He came to save you from your sin. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.